It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
It is Labor Day. All the children are crying. All the parents are smiling. Best day of the year for families. You little so-and-sos, you're out of the house tomorrow. Because it's a holiday Monday, that means extra roundtable. The producers don't want to do any work, so the on-air guys have to. Elliot Friedman for the vacationing Bob McCowan. He will be back tomorrow with the regular co-host Damian Cox. Sporting his free Sportsnet attire.
Yeah, I guess I'm the only one today.
That's right. Brad Fay and Paul Jones,
the Under Armour
twins. Very nice. Although Paul has gone a little more showy.
What does that look like on TV? Oh, of course we're not on. That looks like it's going to jump out of the screen.
Well, in respect for school, you know, you highlight key points. My daughter calls it the highlighter shirt.
I thought you were saying in respect to school, you look like the crossing guard.
No. Elliot, I got to tell you, though, not only are the kids nervous, I know a whole bunch of administrators that are really nervous right now, hoping it doesn't rain. Like, I had that all down, and then it decided, Mother Nature decided it would rain, and my whole entry plan was like, So there's a bunch of teachers educational assistants, and like the custodians have to make sure the building's clean, and the secretaries will be pulling their hair out tomorrow when 50 kids walk in to register on the first day. Like, why didn't you come in the middle of August? Well, we didn't know the school was open.
Hey, when did they varnish the gym? That's my favorite smell. I love the first day of school. I didn't like the next 300, but walking into the gym with it freshly varnished, it was fantastic.
Every kid's in their class, but Brad is on the gym sniffing the floor.
Pretty much. Explains a lot.
Well, it's the weekend. My son went to Queens for day one yesterday.
Wow.
And then, of course, my 11-year-old goes to grade six tomorrow. So you get both things going. But seems to me that
we're doing a university move tomorrow. Moving into
at York. Parents used to get upset or nervous for their kids going to grade school. Now parents get incredibly nervous for their kids going to university. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, are going, let me.
last year we moved my daughter into York, and we drove up. She's on the volleyball team. She was last year. We drive up, and it's Frosh Week Supreme. I mean, there's music going. There's people swinging from trees. It's like.
Did you check if you had any eligibility left?
I was going to say.
Play that fifth year?
And this is what, I do have a fifth year. It wouldn't be any good now. Maybe I could be on the golf team and carry a bag. And I thought, and this is what I've been saving for since she was 2 years old.
Is Frosh Week at York any good?
I don't know. I asked my daughter. She did it last week.
Okay. You went to McMaster, right?
I did. Best school in the country, yes.
Yeah, okay.
If you're starting
the rankings from the bottom.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, the bubble over your head broke.
was Frosh Week there any good?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was some time ago.
And you can remember.
Mount Royal in Calgary.
You went to Mount Royal.
Yeah. The first Frosh Week was good for me. The second one was even better.
The 17th, I'll tell you, it started to get a bit repetitive.
And I'll throw this in here, Elliot, on a serious note, as a former teacher and administrator.
Kids, you make good decisions out there.
Well, no, but I'm saying, though, the first decision, they always say that, you know, in golf, the first decision always starts with what you wear. But, I mean, for kids, the key thing is eat breakfast. I'm telling you, the surveys, I'm telling you, Damo, the surveys, and I can tell you as an administrator.
Just for the grade fives or the first years?
Anywhere.
Yeah.
We didn't realize we just turned into the Life Channel.
Yeah, I know. We started a breakfast club
at our school.
This is
what happens when you let a teacher on the panel.
Because kids come to school without breakfast, and the stats are incredible. 1 in 5 come to school without breakfast. 93% achieve better when they have breakfast. 86% are involved in more than normal peer conflict and bullying if they don't have breakfast. Like, the numbers are out there, and I know that you know, they're not a sponsor or anything, but Kellogg's has a breakfast program that I've been part of. And I'm telling you, man, feed the kids something before they go to school. It makes a huge difference.
All right.
Huge difference.
It's serious, but he's right. You know, you take a look at it even in sports, how many teams now, they control the breakfast their players. So if you think that teams say, okay, I need to do it for this 25-year-old, I can only imagine what it's like in schools for that kind of a
thing. On the Raptors charter, you used to see guys walking in with, like, the worst junk food ever.
Well, you remember Marcus Camby?
Well, yeah.
Marcus Camby. I remember him walking up to Isaiah Thomas one day before a game, and Isaiah says to him, what did you eat today? And he goes, a Snickers. And that was it.
That was it.
That was the only thing he'd eaten that day.
It wasn't that long ago that nutrition was not taken seriously at all, right? Now, it's, as you say, it's part of the protocol. I heard Akeem Olajuwon talking about how that changed his career when he was at Houston. Speaking of Frosh Week, at school they had the free vending machine, the pop machines, and he said, I think he's something like along the lines, I had the three food groups, you know, pop, chips, and chocolate bars, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's a world-class athlete, and he figured it out his last year that nutrition, and it became a thing. It would have been, what, early 80s for Akeem? And suddenly, you know, he blossomed and reached his potential, but it's unbelievable.
We had John Sally on here a while back when I was with Bobcat, and just talking about how guys would rather take a pill for, you know, their diabetes, their this, their that, but, you know, they won't give up the food that they're eating that's making them sick. I mean, it's crazy.
You know, all of a sudden, I'm pretty hungry.
Is it Friday? Are they feeding us?
Yeah, seriously.
No, it's Monday.
All right. Okay, let's get a good public service announcement to start the show by the former principal or vice principal or principal?
No, principal. Unfortunately, the buck stopped at my desk. It's always nice to sometimes delegate sidewards, upwards, you know, like. You know, you're the producer, you decide.
Yes.
What do you think, Damo? You're the producer, you decide, right?
It never went anywhere but you. Okay, so there's the calendar this year. As school starts, you always look at the school calendar for something you might actually be looking forward to. This is the unofficial start to the sports year, and the city of Toronto's got a lot of stuff coming up. World Cup of Hockey, Grey Cup. We're hoping for Blue Jays playoff games. World Junior Championships, not the championship rounds, but the initial rounds are in Toronto this year. The NHL Outdoor Game. The NBA playoffs, the NHL draft lottery. I don't know what else you want to count there, but there's a lot of events on the sports calendar locally this year. Brad, which one are you most looking forward to?
I was going
to
say in the Vanier Cup hosted by McMaster in Hamilton. So in the area, I love September because I am a peripheral baseball fan, but I love September and October because I love the intensity of every pitch mattering in over 162 games. I find that hard to wind it up. But I tell you, there's nothing like the start of the NFL season. I just find it that it seems the one
wasn't
that...
wasn't on the menu.
I was going to say...
Everybody's all in. Yeah,
I didn't include that because it wasn't local.
Toronto, give me baseball. Toronto doesn't have an NFL team. Okay.
They do. Right. It's just an hour and a little away in Buffalo, right? Yeah,
I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. Let's go with the Blue Jays and the pennant chase. How about that?
I thought for sure you'd say the Grey Cup.
Well, yeah, but you see, that was going to be my next point, that it's I've been beaten down since I moved from out west, that slowly the NFL has put the CFL on the back.
Hey, I love three-down football.
Yeah, I still do.
I really do still. But it's
tough out here.
You got to throw the ball. It's exciting. And a lot of people just don't follow
that,
it anymore.
Even that, what you just said, you got to throw the ball. I mean, that comment about the CFL is really from many years ago. Because everybody in football throws the ball now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what I watched my beloved Fighting Irish.
That was a great game.
What a game.
50-47.
Yeah.
You know, double overtime. The NFL throws the ball more than ever before. And but to me, that's one of the things. Well, it's one of the things that has hurt the CFL is that everybody throws the ball. So, okay, now what else is distinctive about the Canadian Football League? And they're going to have to find that. And they're going to have to sell a Grey Cup where the tickets are through the roof. And it'll be interesting if they can do it in Toronto.
The rules, though, in the NFL and in other forms of football have, like everywhere else, catered to offense. I mean, we talk about how great a guy like Gronkowski is. Could you imagine putting a John Mackey, like one of those guys from back in the day where you couldn't, like, basically tackle the guy 10 yards away and play Lester Hayes, play bump and run and ride the guy the whole time. Now, if you breathe on a guy, it's, I mean, they're reviewing pass interference for crying out loud.
They realize what sells, and that's offense.
Oh, absolutely.
Passing the ball sells.
But look at hockey. You guys are hockey guys. Mm-hmm. No, the obstructions, you can't touch a guy. They're, you know, clutch and grab is supposedly gone. Like,
well,
it changes, right?
It was, and then it's
come back.
So if I were to rank them, for me, in order of what's going to happen is anticipation. Blue Jays, I think we got a pennant race coming up this month that's going to be really pretty exciting. And then the World Cup of Hockey somewhere significantly after that. And then probably the Grey Cup. Probably the Grey Cup. So
does the outdoor – I'm wondering where the outdoor game ranks.
Yeah, but I'm not – you know me. I've never been an outdoor game guy. I think that's sort of
–
I think it's so cliche now that everybody plays an outdoor game. You know, every school plays an outdoor game. Junior teams play outdoor games.
It has to be a unique place to make it. Special.
That's
now.
The number,
Notre Dame Stadium, Lambeau,
the
place like that.
That's the number one complaint I hear. Now, Brad, I think the interesting thing is I understand where Damien comes from because we've been to a lot of them, and I think if you've been to 10 like I have, you can really get jaded about it. The one thing I will always say is that each time a market gets it for the first time,
there is
something fresh about it. Yeah. The people love it.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'm curious about, the way Damien said, I'm curious to where you guys would put this. Everybody thought that an outdoor game in Toronto would be an absolute smashing success. And I'm hearing a lot of what you are saying. It's that
BMO.
Is the venue make it less in Toronto?
Well, the Argonaut fans aren't flocking there like it's someplace special.
And it's supposed to be a great place to watch it, right? I haven't had a chance to go, but I know people who've gone and they say it's actually a great place to watch a game.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have that
panache. And it's when they played at Fenway and those types of venues
Wrigley,
that have the history and it's sort of the first one, the first few. And again, this I agree with you with it. It in the city, that doesn't make as much of a difference. In this case it might, because it's the people watching on TV that would be drawn to see what the stadium looks like, and then this one doesn't have that for everybody else. So there's two arguments there, but you run out of the venues to play it. And the configurations to me were so cool in Fenway and Wrigley and how they set it up and where, the baseball stadiums add a little different element, even if it's not great for the fans from the sightline perspective.
What do you think, Jones? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the Jays. I mean, I've always been a basketball guy, but before basketball got here, the Jays, 85 to like 93 in there, and they ruled the roost. They really did. And to have them kind of come back now. And for me, we were just talking about our kids. To see my kids all pumped up about the Blue Jays. Like, there was a time there where you could shoot a cannon off down there and not hit anybody. And now, number one in attendance in the American League, 41,000 plus. I mean, it's good to see that come back. So I'm looking forward to the Jays. The World Cup of Hockey, it's down, like Damo said, it's down there for me. It's not... I would say the Grey Cup would be next. And then everybody likes this time of the year. I like April too, because baseball is just starting up. You're getting into the NBA playoffs. You're getting into the NHL playoffs.
March Madness.
Like that kind of, like the Masters. Like that's the one time of the year for me that the weather's starting to get warmer after you've been beat down all winter. So I know people like this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the reasons we've talked about, what's the advent of you know what's coming up, but I also like that time in April, and I'm looking forward to the NBA playoffs this year, especially with the whole Kevin Durant thing and the talk of super teams and are they good for the league and not good for the league. And I mean, the Raptors are going to see Kevin Durant
game one,
the first preseason game out.
Vancouver's going to see him first.
But that doesn't count because it's in Vancouver, so you can't be looking forward to it.
I will say one thing to tie in what we just talked about with what Jonesy said. From 85 through 93, how the Jays owned it. And that was the start of and you will speak to it, Damien, the death knell of the Argos, where the CFL was at its absolute peak in 83 when the Argos and Lions played. I was in Vancouver. It was the biggest thing going. I think it's still the biggest TV rating of a Grey Cup. Toronto had hosted in 82 in the pouring rain, but they were in it and played Edmonton. It was so huge. And as soon as the Blue Jays began that run, it was that shift in not looking for. So if you ask that question in 83 in 84, it would have been CFL automatically, and from that point on, it became the Blue Jays, and there didn't seem to be room for both.
Well, and even then in the Blue Jays in the early 90s, I mean, they really pushed the Leafs back. The Leafs were far back in the whole thing. And, I mean, I think it does beg the question, is all of this too much? Even for a city the size of Toronto, with the money in Toronto, is it all too much and where everything is going to be sort of, I mean, I think the Blue Jays is going to be, I mean, that building is packed. I was there a week
ago. TV ratings are through the roof.
I mean, that's sort of a given.
You're like annoyed now. I'm walking. There's no J game at night. What am I going to do? I have to talk to my wife tonight? Like, what am I going to do?
So I'm walking the concourse and I'm going one way and there's the other way. It's like, hey, Damien. Hey, Jones.
That's right. You go down there to see people. So that's sort of a given. So I think you can set that apart. But from the rest, World Juniors, you know, Grey Cup. I mean, the Argos are taking a terrible beating in this city right now. And it's very difficult to see them, people getting, I mean, they play today. It's the Labor Day Classic down in Hamilton. And
Unless you're a diehard,
it's just not part of the conversation because of the Jays particularly. And now World Cup seems to be kind of pushing its way into
another week.
Because there's going to be an awful lot of hype and an awful lot of coverage of the World Cup.
Another week.
Right. But, you know, I think that's... It's starting, though. I mean,
it's probably
never been.
I didn't grow up in Toronto, but it's probably never been like what's on deck here the next 6 months or something like that. Has there ever been this many choices in terms of big major events and with the Jays being good, the Raptors being good, the Leafs at least having the excitement of Auston Matthews? I mean, it's
and you're going to stuff like TIFF.
I was going to say
big deal.
You're going to get people coming in TIFF. How many of these stars are going to say, hey, I want to go and see this or that? Now you got them on TV. Look who's at the hockey game. Look who's at the Jays game.
Like, I mean, the flip side of this is that the hope, I'm sure, is that all these events will feed off one another and it'll just create a fever and more and more and more and more. So I'm going to be interested to see how all of this sort of plays out and how excited people get.
And I think that's a key point, because I wonder if they're pushing the Toronto sports fan too far this year. I do wonder if. And I know that the NHL was worried about this with the outdoor game. They looked at everything else that was here, especially with the World Juniors at that time in Toronto playing its or Canada playing its preliminary games here. I know they looked at that and they were worried. Is this too much, even an outdoor game for this city?
Are you worried about the guy or the girl, the woman that's a sports fan, or do you start catering to
money.
Specialties?
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of bandwagon Blue Jay fans because of what's happened lately.
Yeah.
And they will choose the Jays.
But there are bandwagon Raptor fans, bandwagon Leaf fans.
And they will choose them over something that may have been a regular for them because it's a hot ticket. It's a hot item. It's the place to be seen. Like, so when you say, is it too much for the Toronto sports fan, Elliot, do some of these people who are sports, and I use quotes here, really bandwagon fans, just start to say, well, I'm going to go to this and this. Yeah, but such and such happening. No.
Well, that's what I mean. Can Toronto sell out all of these things?
But I even...
Can it sell out all the World Cup games, all the Jays games, all the World Juniors, the outdoor game, the Grey Cup? Can it sell all the Raptor
the
games,
World
all the Leaf games?
The final.
That's a lot of money.
They don't get the Canadian playoff game.
They don't get the medal round.
Yeah.
And you
so
look
that
at them,
makes it even tougher to sell to go see a round robin.
Yeah, that's one that you wonder if maybe might take a hit. That and the Grey Cup. I'm wondering about the Grey Cup because the ticket prices on the Grey Cup are quite
people will travel, though, won't they, Damo, for the Grey Cup?
Like, that's a real loyalty.
We know Saskatchewan's not going to be
Yeah, that's a bit of a hit.
So that's an interesting question. Is you know,
Fire Marshal's happy Saskatchewan.
You know, Jonesy, I do, the question you posed, like, okay, we're four of the quote-unquote high-end sports fans in this city. We'll watch anything, right? Like, we love sports.
You
we'll
sound
watch.
Like my wife now.
Yeah,
dude.
We'll watch anything. It's true. And I look at this and I say, if you had me a ticket to all of this stuff, they said you could buy one super ticket to all of this. Would you go to every one? And even I could see myself saying at some point, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you talk about...
I say that now because I feel like you, Elliot. I don't know, but...
I might.
But I might.
I am an idiot enough that I might.
I'm as dumb as you are then, because as close as you get to the event, it's like, wow, hey, it's the World Cup of Hockey. The night the Blue Jays broke the MLB record with, what was it, 10 home runs in a game or something?
Baltimore?
Against Baltimore. Yeah. That night, I had a choice to go to the Jays game or tag along with little brother who was doing the Canada Cup in Hamilton. Lemieux, Gretzky, that was the night. And I'm thinking like, it's October, it's like September, whatever. There's lots of hockey. I'll keep your Canada Cup or whatever.
But you were going to something.
I was.
You were going to something. I was. Like that's the curiosity.
I sat there
I have
and froze. Sat there.
Well, at least you saw Ernie Wade hit three homers. But the key thing is that a lot of these things don't really conflict with anything else.
True.
And the bandwagoners to me are the people I would look at and say, well, they're gonna pick two or three of those things. They're not going to all seven unless you get a different bandwagoner for each one. I just wonder about the sports fan if they look at it and say, I don't know if they can handle all this.
Yeah, and to me, the one event or that I'll be very curious to see how well it does is the World Cup.
Yeah,
because of course the Team Canada games will be sold out. Probably the Team North America games. Probably the Team USA games. But when you get into some of the other countries, as good as they may be, and as good as the talent on those teams may be, you wonder what it's going to be like. And I mean, you know what? It's been 20 years since they've had a good one of these. 1996, the World Cup. 2004 was fine.
There was kind of a cliff at the back end. 96 of 2004.
Was that Richter like stopping the world?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So if they create something special with special hockey, then I think people will it'll build momentum, but. You know, based on what we saw in Sochi and based on what we've seen, I mean, it's going to be interesting.
That's my question. When you say too much, what about too much international hockey because of the Olympics and then now 2 years? I think this, if they stop going to the Olympics, the World Cup every 4 years will be great.
That's two years removed
from Sochi, especially for Canadian fans where that was so systematic. 2010 had all the drama and 2014 had none of it. It was finally Canadians' chance to say, yes, we're the best. Maybe that's the best team ever. And then it's kind of like 2 years later, we need to get amped up again. The best thing that can happen in a general rule in this tournament is Canada to lose early and have a little bit of, right. You know, then everybody jumps on again. But the hockey itself is so, will be so good.
Check your Twitter feed.
Yeah. The hockey itself will be excellent. It always is. And even if people aren't excited, but people that have the attitude, I don't care. We already proved we're the best. It won't be the drama or the emotion of past tournaments. But the hockey is just so enjoyable and so high level that everybody tunes in, even if they say they're not.
But Sochi wasn't, not to me.
You didn't think so?
No. And well, we're into such a low scoring era now in hockey. There are so few goals, less than five a game in the playoffs. So now we're going to gather all these great players together, and you talked about the Canada Cup 6-5, 6-5, 6-5, the final three games. You know, are we going to get excitement like that, or are we going to get 2-1?
Well, this is going to be on the normal ice surface. I hate the wide ice.
Right. Maybe that'll help.
Yeah.
And 2010 was better in that regard.
Why don't you like the wide ice?
The final was low scoring. But.
I just think that the European teams are so smart at playing keep away on it. The only way you can win on the big ice, and Canada proved that in Sochi, the first time they ever won on that, was by playing keep away.
All you really encourage you to do is defend.
Yeah. And that was the best, and the amazing thing about that for me, and I could see you enjoying it on TV, is that was the best defensive team Canada ever put together. They own that tournament, which was actually incredible to watch, but it's not the most exciting thing.
It wasn't incredible to watch.
It was impressive
to watch, but incredible.
I thought it was.
Elliot, you just said something, too, that we talked about. Would people go to all these things? Think about our business, and people at home are tweeting stuff and seeing stuff on TV that you can't see and you're sitting in the press box. You know, like the TV experience with, huge TVs and
that's actually a great 4K. Point. So if you've got a Team Canada versus US game head to head against a Blue Jay game, you know what you want to do?
You want to stay at home.
Yeah.
And you're going to
particularly for the between periods commentary.
Yes, of course.
My dad, he's 91, and he sits there and he watches his beloved Dodgers every night. And he sits there like he's at Chavez Ravine going, this guy again, he can't hit. And so he's got that experience. it's like he's at the stadium, mm-hmm. even though he's across the continent. And when you think about all these events in Toronto and our business and the way it's publicized, the way it's televised, and, you know, dare I say, present company included, the expert opinions that you get, you're not getting that when you're sitting in a little chair at the rink or at the ball yard. Mm-hmm. You don't get that. And that's something the TV experience has really enhanced, people watching the game and saying, you know what? I'm going to stay home and watch it. Mm.
Cheaper. And TVs, you can buy good TVs now for a good price.
So I think the bottom line, it's going to be interesting Toronto for the next few months and see how people respond.
I think the other thing, too, is to make the World Cup really work, and you mentioned it, you probably can't go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I know the NHL screams murder about that, about how we don't make any money, the logistics are bad, they have to pay for our insurance, but the players love the Olympics and the fans love the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if they're – I've always believed at the end of the day the NHL will go to the Olympics. This is the first time I've looked at it and said, because of the politics behind the scenes, it actually might not happen. And I think they're losing out by not going, but the business side of the NHL doesn't care. Doesn't care.
I don't totally understand why they would go. Wouldn't you, when there's so much more to be gained by the league and by the players,
mm-hmm.
by having a World Cup and building up a World Cup, why would you go to the Olympics?
Well, you know what? Because I still think that there is something to be said by having your best product there. It's the most exposure you get.
It's what happened.
Depends
with
where it's played.
It's what happened with USA Basketball.
It wasn't in Sochi. And Pyeongchang. What's it going to be like there? As opposed
and
to...
And the South Korean market and the Chinese market?
Well, I don't know nor care about the South Korean
you
market.
You might not. You
no,
might
but
not.
I'm saying
but
from
people
a,
do. But even business people do.
No, but from a business point of view, the players mm-hmm. and the league actually make money.
Mm-hmm.
From the World Cup. This is their money
mm-hmm.
as opposed to going and helping the IOC make money. Why wouldn't they want to do their own thing? It's their labor.
Mm-hmm.
It's their organization. Yeah. Why wouldn't they want to put their own thing first?
If you ask their labor, which do you think they'd rather play at?
I think they'll say whatever they're being told to say.
Nah,
and that's always been the case.
No, you know what? There's been a number of players who've been on record this time or hinted very strongly by their actions that they consider the Olympics more important than the World Cup.
Yeah, well, but I'm saying you asked what do I think they'll say. I said I think they'll say whatever the union tells them to say, and that's what they'll say.
They've been pretty honest about the Olympics here.
No, they you're not listening to me.
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
The union mantra is we love the Olympics. Therefore, every player says we want to go to the Olympics. That's what the union. And as soon as the union decides
mm-hmm.
we don't want to go to the Olympics, all the players will then say, yeah, we don't want to do the Olympics. We want to do the World Cup.
Oh,
that's the way the union goes.
I see what you're saying. My point was that even though the players are making money off the World Cup, a few of them have been very honest about how the Olympics is still the primary thing to them.
Oh, well, yeah.
That actually has been surprising for me because I thought they would throw themselves.
But part of
right
that is because, and this has always been an issue with these events, is they don't actually get a check. You know,
right.
They don't get money directly. And part of the PA's problem has always been an inability to look big picture and look at their organization and put money in for the people, the players that are coming next
right.
or the players who played before or any number of things. So, you know, that I would imagine that's a challenge for
the Olympics
here.
The Olympics have a certain cachet, and that's why Jerry Colangelo was recruited for USA Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they... I was there in 92, and it was, you know, it was Oscar Schmidt scoring 47 in Indianapolis in the Pan Am Games and celebrating right in the heartland of America as they beat, like, you know, the kids. And that was it. It was like, okay, that's it. No more Mr. Nice Guy. We've sent the college kids. And so what did they send? They send a Hall of Fame team. Every guy on that team, and if they'd have picked Shaq instead of Christian Laettner, is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Every single guy. And then... you know, they kind of toned it down a little bit. And in 2004, I thought Larry Brown was the wrong coach to break it down and build it up in a short period of time. And they lost and they threw their hands up and they said, aha, we beat your pros. And they said, okay, that's it. So Jerry Colangelo comes in, makes it a program now, and he gets Krzyzewski and they point at LeBron and Kobe. And they've won the last, what, six now international events? Not blowing everybody away, but...
There have been very few scares.
But for three, three decades, the Olympics was not... it was not the biggest tournament in hockey. It was the Canada Cup and World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I would still argue that if they weren't in the Olympics and they said, we're going to have a World Cup every 4 years, it would take them some time because they've wasted all this time.
Yes. But
In 15 or 20 years, they would have a product that would be recognized as the number one hockey tournament in the world and would be, and people wouldn't say, oh, I wish they were in the Olympics.
Is that big picture?
But it's going
to
take
about?
Time.
Damo, is that what you're talking about in terms of big picture, thinking big picture?
Well, no, I was talking more about
the players
and how they view the association. So that's what I think will have to happen.
I'll tell you this. If they say we're not going to the Olympics and that's going to be the primary hockey tournament, it's going to be a lot faster than 15, 20 years. It's going to be quick.
The next one.
And it'll be interesting where they put it. Are they going to go to Russia? Are they going to go to London? Are they going to go to where are they going to put it? And they will have the biggest hockey tournament in the world very fast if they don't.
I think personally, you put it in somewhere in North America first and then let the other places around the world say, hey, we want that.
Well, and we'll see how Toronto does.
Especially leading into the season where the players are all playing here anyway, right? For the most part.
You know, we'll see how Toronto does because they're going to have it. This is the first time in a long time they're doing it all in one city. Maybe that will be the model. So maybe next time it'll be New York City or, I don't know, Los Angeles or Chicago. You know, something like that.
How many teams do they go to make it a bigger tournament? Yeah,
I think that's the one thing, too, is I've been struggling with this whole idea of the Team North America, Team Europe thing for a while. I think the one thing I finally settled in my mind is it does make it seem a little bit more like an exhibition tournament as opposed to a major international tournament. That just, I mean, I still like it, but I still think that gives it a bit of a feel.
That under-23 team has really grown on. That is the team I am most excited to see play because I'm curious to see, are they going to beat anybody? And as it starts, that's the team that's number one on my calendar to watch. Okay, we're going to take the break. We still got some Blue Jays to do. We still got the NFL season starting up. The Raptors made some nominal changes to their front office, at least in terms of titles. We'll take a look at that. And the anthem protest in the United States grows. All of that when primetime continues.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of the best sports talk on the planet on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Was this 80s flashback afternoon?
It's back to school. How many years were you at Mount Royal?
Exactly. Right in this was the wheelhouse. Then.
There you go. Yep.
I still remember getting dropped off at university for the first time and like, all right, parents, get out. And then the high five me and my roommate gave to each other when we realized we were on our own. 60 pounds later, I realized that wasn't a great idea.
The freshman 15.
For me, it was a lot more than 15. Oh, my God. Somebody recently showed me one of my high school pictures, my high school graduation picture. Remember that old line from that Grecian formula, Maurice Richard commercial?
It was so easy to remember.
Yeah. That's what I remember. How fun was it to be skinny? Okay. So,
well, news. Damo, McMaster, what did you call it?
Best school in the country. Wow.
The boys at York won a football game last week.
No, they didn't.
Yes.
First of all.
Yes, York won a football game.
There should be no season or school before Labor Day. Nobody should have to go to school before Labor Day. Nobody should have to participate in university football before Labor Day.
Although, I will say, in the York Regent School Board, Bill Crothers Public High School is a specialty sports school, and kids are on an alternate calendar. So they have their times are different. So they actually
start
school.
That's a little
earlier.
Different. It's okay. A specialty sports school, but I don't like it. I don't think you should be in school in July or August. I'm old school. What can I tell you? Okay.
Let me tell you, Elliot, I don't think they're in, quote, school.
That's true. Raptors made some nominal changes. Ujiri gets team president. Jeff Weltman's now the GM, up from assistant general manager. Is this all good job, better titles?
Why would they disrupt something that's going so well? Mm-hmm. They may have, you know, changed the nameplates in front, but I see this team, this management team, and, you know, you talk about Masai and Jeff and, you know, Bobby Webster and, you know, Teresa and, like, you know, Courtney Charles in basketball operations. All of these people are still working the same way. I mean, so, you know, the two analytics guys, I just think they're moving it forward in the right direction. They may change the nameplates. You might be driving a different car, but you're still going the same way. So I don't see, you know, new titles are nice, but I don't see very much changing.
How long, I'm just curious, do you see him as saying, this is it, like, this is my last, this is where I'm going to be for
Masai?
Yeah, going to be for a long time. Sometimes you see guys and you wonder, okay, do they have any wanderlust? Do they think, there's somewhere else I still want to be or something else I still want to do.
He's pretty driven.
That's why I wonder.
And it just depends on, to me, it depends on where he's directing his drive. If the drive is we are going to win a championship here in Toronto, then he ain't moving. If, you know, he gets to the point where he feels like he's done everything he can here and it hasn't happened, then because he's like, that drive will never dissipate. Like it just won't. That's the way he is, and he may decide to pick it up and move it somewhere. And I'm not saying that he's going to, but right now it's here, and you know he's all in.
Well, now the challenge is, you know, got to the point where you're one of the final four teams in league.
That's a heck of a challenge.
But how do you get up? How do you get over that hump? Mm-hmm. In fact, it's more likely that they're going to step back. And then, you know, and they're going to be one of those teams that are battling in the playoffs every year.
But to get
over the top without being able to, as far as we can tell, being able to dip in and get the big free agents when they come free, it is going to be a huge challenge.
Last year.
Huge challenge.
We've always talked about this, all of the guys around the team. They accelerated the timetable. Like they, you know, everything fell into place and they got to the conference finals. And they were one of two teams to win a game from LeBron in the playoffs. They won two, Golden State won three, that's it.
That was the weirdest series too, that Eastern Conference final. Mm-hmm. It was like blowout, win.
Yeah, yeah.
Stephen A. Smith just dumping all over Canada, blowout.
Stephen A. didn't have a good run in the, I think everything he mentioned went the other way.
That was just a strange playoff series.
But, I mean, didn't it bear out what the regular season dictated? 1-2. And home court, they won, you know, game sevens at home.
I think part of this shows, too, how the organization that owns the Raptors and the Maple Leafs seem to have finally figured something out here, is that hire some good people and let them do their jobs. Mm-hmm. You don't, the refrain don't. we heard for, well, decades in Toronto was ownership interfering with team.
Mm-hmm.
And that went, and when the Raptors came in, it became the same kind of thing seemed to happen. Now it seems to have been MLSE, you know, controlled by Bell and by Rogers, with Larry Tannenbaum holding his stake, seems to have finally said, we're going to hire people and now let them work.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a major sea change in this market where we've seen, for both these franchises, you know, a lack of stability, hiring the wrong people, having to start all over again, you know, so many times. So, you know, if you're a Toronto sports fan, this is highly encouraging.
Well, and that's what they say, right? When you hire the right people, you let them work. If you think you've hired the wrong people, you kind of watch and you try to supervise until it gets to a point where, as Damo said, you got to go back and start again. And if you've hired the right people, just let them work. I remember a conversation with Doc Rivers, where he talked about his general manager, Danny Ainge, And Danny would come in and say, hey, have you tried this? And Doc looked at him and said, really, Danny? Like, you're asking
no.
me?
If, yeah.
No, we never thought of that. Yeah. You know?
Never.
Never thought of that. And I think management, they may have those urges, Damo. Like, let's go ask him. Wait a minute. That guy has probably thought about that. So let's step back and let him work.
Yeah,
or ask the question in a different way.
I mean, the Raptors, I mean, Ujiri is clearly in charge. No one seems to doubt that he is in charge.
Yep.
And on the hockey side, you've got a team that was the worst in the National Hockey League last year, and nobody lost their job.
There's optimism. And that's what I was going to say. The fact that it's the same guys that you now are working on 2-3 years where you know who's who instead yes. of having to think of who is this? How many organizations was that ago that he was in charge? Now it's the same group that's going for it, and that all lends itself to the stability and to the fact they're moving in the right direction. So
based on what you were saying there, one of the things I was wondering is, is Ujiri the most, I don't know if powerful is the right word, but is he the general manager or president of operations or whatever in Canada now with the most cachet in his organization?
Well, let me ask this question to answer a question. What's the question?
With the most.
Like, you doubt anything he's done?
But
where he's moved the team from
no,
to where they are now. So, I mean,
and he's kept all his guys when people said you can't keep all your guys.
Right.
The only guy that people are grumbling about, I told you at the golf tournament last week, people are bitching how come he couldn't keep Biombo. The guy went from $3 million
to 17 and a half.
That's yeah, why. Like, no, but Dave, my point was that if you look at his organization and even the public watching your organization, is there an executive right now in Canada who has more juice with his fans and his organization than he does?
Well, I mean, it's
the only other guy might be
the other guy might be Brendan Shanahan.
I thought, but there was another guy,
which is incredible since he has the worst team in the league. It's quite extraordinary when you think about it.
But besides, they inherited a mess. It was a mess.
Besides, in a unique situation though, because his team is the only team in that sport in the country. So the Raptor fans and Brad, we were talking about Vancouver. We'll go out to Vancouver for training camp. The Grizzlies left in 2000.
Yeah.
Like, there are teenage kids now that are 16, 17 years old that don't know the Grizzlies and have grown up with basketball as Raptor fans.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, like the Blue Jays, they are the Raptors are the only team in their sport, pro team, in the country, and they've got fans from all over. So, maybe that's why, Elliot.
But also, Jonesy, despite that, there have been a lot of general managers of that team that had no juice, not with their fan base.
Because they don't win.
And not with their own organization, as Damian mentioned.
Well, the answer might have been the equal. It would have been Alex Anthopoulos at this time last year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The other guy.
Show that one. See what that, how far that got him.
Yeah. Well, the other guy I thought of, and he's battling back with the fans right now, but a year ago it was Mark Bergevin.
Yeah.
And also, but at the end of the year, you look at it, the fans were angry at Bergevin. But the organization did agree to allow him to make the move he wanted to make, which was the biggest trade in Canada in how long?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I look at Ujiri now. He's got the cachet with his ownership and his fan base. You can't find a lot of GMs in this country who've got that right now.
There's no second guessing him right now.
I think with Ujiri, what he's been able to do because of all his work he does outside basketball, mm-hmm. there's a respect for this guy, for reasonable thinking people that see, wow, this guy's thinking beyond just the NBA, all the work he does in Africa. People are impressed, I think, in him as a person, as a figure.
Giants of Africa will be at TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival. If you get a chance to see it, it is brilliant. When we come back, hour two of the round table still to come. The Blue Jays, the NFL season begins this week. Damien's drafted his fantasy team, preparing for an 0-14 season. And the anthem controversy grows as primetime continues.